For our second reading, and we'll find that in 1 Kings chapter 5. First Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire, and Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home, and Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens, and 80,000 hewers in the mountains, beside the chief of Solomon's officers which were over the work, 3,300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squarers. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It's a very practical chapter. There's a lot of practicality here that I think is worth noting and worth hearing. So notice this first statement of practicality, which comes out of the mouth of Solomon. He says, My father David wanted to build a house, but he couldn't because he had wars on every side. Even if he wanted to build the house, and even if the Lord had approved that it was time to build the house under my father David's reign, he's always called hither and yon to do this and that. Sound like our lives? Sometimes. Sometimes we're busier than at other times. In some stages of our lives, we are busier at other times. And so the good that we might otherwise desire to do is not available to us at certain points and periods and times, histories, sections of our lives. But you know what? The Bible understands that. The Lord makes known those kinds of things to us in Scripture. David was unable to build the house. Solomon, what does he say? I've got rest on every side. And so, let me take advantage of that rest that I have on every side and do what I've been commanded to do, and that is to build up the house of the Lord. There's a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 where we hear the Apostle Paul talking about the quote-unquote present necessity. It's a difficult time. There is much persecution. And so be careful then. Don't just enter into marriage because it's convenient. Right? Because what's going to happen is, if you are married, especially under these present circumstances, you may have less opportunity for service. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the apostle will go on to say in that chapter, when you marry, you have not sinned. You see, the scriptures do recognize that there are particular times in our lives where we may have some wonderful things that we would desire to do, but the Lord has put other things in our hands to do. Well, we don't grasp at those. We take up those things with our strength. So David did not grouse at himself not being able to build the house that he wanted to build. What did he do instead? He made provision for those who would build after him. That he could do. He made the league with Hiram, not only for materials, but for skill. And so all of those things are put in place. And so David did what he could, not regretting what he couldn't do. Solomon picked up what he could do and rejoicing in that also. So, the other thing that we want to make sure that we understand here is that when we do have the opportunity, we ought to redeem the time. Right? It's not just don't be upset if you can't, but when you have such opportunities, then redeem those times. Take them up and make use of them. So, that's the first section. Very practical, I think, instruction. There is also some wonderful relationship that goes on here between these two monarchs, between Solomon and Hiram, between David and Hiram, such that they enter into mutual benefit one with another. Okay, so what do we learn as far as nation states are concerned? That they ought to enter into agreements that are mutually beneficial to them. And let us be careful, right? Let us be careful of thinking that every relationship ought to be beneficial to someone else and detrimental to us. No, we want to enter into those kinds of national discussions based on something that is mutually beneficial. Same in business, same in buying and selling, same in trading. We want to look for a mutual benefit. This includes, for instance, paying people what it's worth to do work for you and things like that. I know that there's that especially Scottish Presbyterians, you know, we have this reputation of being able to make Mr. Lincoln scream. Right? You understand what that means, right? You take a penny and you can squeeze the last drop out of it. Mr. Lincoln says, ah! Right. Well, remember that we are also, yes, we are to be frugal and so on, but we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so when you have someone that you've hired to, you know, dig a ditch in your backyard, well, how much would you want to be paid for that? Right? Or would you drive him down to where, you know, he's barely making ends meet in that? In other words, there is a right consideration. There is what the marketplace will bear. We understand that. But we also want to make sure that we are being kind to those who labor for us and so on. So there is also that to think of. Mutually beneficial transactions. That's what we see here between Solomon and Hiram. What did Hiram provide? Hiram provided timber, wonderful cedars out of the mountains of Lebanon, which, by the way, are still there and you can go see them. They didn't chop them all down. Beautiful forest in the mountains of Lebanon. Four or 5,000 feet elevation. Very, very pretty area. Wonderful area. People love to go there on vacation. You can go camping and so on. Wonderful cedar trees up there. And, of course, everyone knows what aromatic cedar smells like. It was one of those prized woods. Imagine what the temple smelled like when you walked into it, with a cedar ceiling and so on. Okay, so there's that. Cedar is also good wood because it it avoids, it's rot resistant. And that was also prized. Okay, so that's what Hiram provides. He also provides a navy to ship it down to a port, Eilat, near Jerusalem, so they can ship it then overland to get it into the city. Okay, so all of that, Ezion Geber, it's called Eilat today. So what does Solomon provide? Well, Hiram also provides skill and workmen, right? So timber, skill, and workmen. What does Solomon provide? Solomon provides for Hiram's household. Notice now Solomon is providing wheat and oil year by year, all the time that they are trading. That's what Solomon provides in return. So something that is mutually beneficial to them both. They both agreed on it. And let us also say that once you agree on something, let's not get halfway through and hold somebody hostage because now they're invested, right? Okay, so all of those things come to play here in this chapter. Then there's something else that I thought was very interesting as I was reading and meditating upon this chapter. First of all, notice that the Lord gave Solomon wisdom in verse 12. Okay, so what we're seeing here is the fruit of wisdom. These are good examples to be followed. What are some of the examples that we see? In verses 13 through the end, Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel. A levy there, it's not really a tax. It's that he raised up a workforce out of all of Israel. And so it's spoken of in several different divisions. The first division is 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. Now let's talk about that a moment. Okay, so they had to go a long distance to travel to that work. So what did Solomon do? I need 10,000 men in this workforce. So he raised 30,000. And he sent them a month at a time. And so they were always cycling in and out, because what would they have to do as a part of their labors up there? They would be away from their synagogues worshiping. Right? Wherever they were, wherever they lived, out of all of Israel, they would have been raised up into a force, and they would have been away, they would have been traveling, they would have gone out of town for their work. And there they were up in Lebanon, where there were no synagogues. And so we can't imagine also that those 10,000 met together on the Lord's day, that they would not have worked on that day and they would have gathered themselves together. But that was still a hardship to be away from the worship of God for 4 weeks straight or five. And so they were relieved a month at a time. And so they were 1 month there and then 2 months at home, so that they could take care of their normal labors on their farms and ranches and businesses and whatever else they did, and so that they could worship the Lord and take care of everything. And so that out-of-town work, notice, was wisely managed by Solomon. Also, notice that he did not send the 10,000 up there and say, okay, you guys are working for Hiram. Oh, no. You don't put Jews under Gentiles. Number one, that would have struck them as, you know, here we are slaves in Egypt again. There would have been that from their history. But also, Hiram would not have any idea, or anyone that worked for Hiram, how to handle Jews properly with regard to what they ate, how they dressed, all of the specifics that God still commanded on them. And so not only did Solomon send up the 10,000 by course, he sent up Adoniram as the one who was in charge of them. And we're assuming also that Adoniram had those under him so that he could cycle in and out as well. So you see the wisdom here. And so what a good example this is for those who have necessary callings for the Lord's day, that it is a work of necessity, and how those employers ought to handle such things as that. This is a really good example, and it shows what some wise mental juice set forth will issue will issue forth with, such that they might be relieved and they might be able to maintain their normal businesses, etc. So very, very wise here. Then there are a couple of other sets of folks. Notice, besides the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, verse 15. Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens. How many? 70,000. And what were they? They were the guys with the strong backs. They carried things. Okay? 70,000 men that carried things, whether that was implements up into the forest to cut down trees, whether that was tools for cutting stone, whatever it was. They were the burden bearers. 70,000 of them. And then, beside the bearer of burdens, 40,000 hewers in the mountains. So 80,000 that cut down trees and carried timber in the mountains. And notice that there were, 3,300. So there were 3,300 supervisors to oversee that force. Okay, 3,300 supervisors. You see the wisdom of Solomon here. He's making sure that his people, they are still his people, although they are in a foreign land, and so he is caring for them with proper supervision, proper shifting, right? So that they're not worn out, so that they don't labor as slaves, but they labor as laborers. You see how all of this is so wisely managed. And then also, there is a joint force to cut stones, because the Sidonians were really the experts in that. And so Solomon sent some of his own artisans, and they worked with the Sidonians to cut the square stones. And when we get to next chapter, chapter 6, we're going to find that when those stones came into Jerusalem to be fitted not only for the foundation, but also for any stone that made up a part of the structure, that there was not a hammer and chisel heard in all Jerusalem. They were all hammered and chiseled and set with their straight edges and so on while they were yet in Sidon. And then they were shipped whole and brought into Jerusalem. And we'll take a look at that, at why that is so, in the next chapter. Then to close, we just want to remember that Solomon is indeed a type of Christ here. Right? What did Jesus say when Peter said in Matthew 16:17, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? What did Jesus say? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Solomon is a type of Christ in building the temple of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "There is a man coming. His name will be the Branch. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build it." So let's remember then that one of the aspects that we must always consider in looking at Solomon and his construction project of the temple is that he is a type of Christ. And the wisdom endued him is nothing compared to the wisdom of Jesus building his church. Okay? All right, thus ends the reading then of 1 Kings chapter 5.